Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to Dismantling Justice, the podcast of Envision Freedom Fund, formerly Brooklyn Community Bail Fund, where we offer insight and analysis from our community members, allies, and colleagues about issues affecting folks who encounter the racist, unjust criminal, legal, and immigration systems, and the work that we're all doing to fight for transformative change. I'm Carl Hammond Lipscomb, Executive Director of Envision Freedom, and I'm here with Saleh Israel, the creator and producer of this podcast, and Envision Freedom's Director of Special Initiatives.
Hello, 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 everyone. Carl is not with us today. I am Saleh Israel, Envision Freedom Fund's Director of Special Initiatives. This week, we're doing another episode of In Case You Missed It. We'll be listening in on a conversation between Envision Freedom Fund's Mustafa Jumali and Freedom to Thrive's Adjie Amichi, which originally aired last year on Instagram Live. Mustafa and Adjie discussed the Break the Shackles campaign, the need to pass the Stop Immigration Bond Abuse Act in New York, the exploitative nature of immigration bonds, and the dangers of incarceration and surveillance. Let's go ahead and listen in.
But yeah, I just wanted to welcome everyone again. My name is Mustafa Jumali. I am the Immigration Policy Manager at Envision Freedom Fund. Comrade Adjie with Freedom to Thrive, do you want to introduce yourself quickly and give us a little background on Freedom to Thrive before we dive into the Break the Shackles campaign?
Sure. So I'm Adjie Amichi, and I'm an organizer, digital organizer with Freedom to Thrive. And Freedom to Thrive is an organization that's just working towards a world where safety means like investment in people and planet and ending punishment-based criminal and immigration systems. And so we're really glad to be here, and we're excited to be part of, I'm excited to be part of this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely, me too. I always enjoy going live and like talking about public policy. So Adjie, why don't you give us a little background about the Break the Shackles Coalition, the issue, and how it impacts New Yorkers?
Yeah, sure. So the Break the Shackles Coalition is basically a coalition that's anchored by you all at Envision Freedom Fund and also African Communities Together, but includes a whole range of different organizations that focus on various issues, but all related to New Yorkers that are committed to stopping immigration bond abuse in New York and, you know, breaking the shackles, whether they're electronic or physical. And being able to, you know, use our efforts as advocates, as organizers, as, you know, some directly impacted community members and institutions, just to form this coalition and to make sure that we're not replacing one form of shackling for another. And in terms of you asked about the bill, right?
I want to give a little background about the bill that is currently in the New York legislature that will be reintroduced next session. A little bit about the bill and what it's trying to do and where the issue, what stemmed it.
Sure. So the bill is the Stop Immigration Bail Abuse Act, also known as SIMBA. And the whole idea around it is to stop private companies from using electronic shackles. Private companies can make a lot and do make a lot of money off electronic shackling. It can cost, you know, upwards of like $400 or $500 a month. And, you know, people that are being shackled oftentimes don't really have that money. And so the whole idea is to basically abolish these fees and also the exorbitant interest rates, because there's also, you know, interest rates on immigration bonds. And so we want to get rid of those. And also just to make sure that immigrants aren't misled by these businesses, which are literally profiteering from people suffering.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And, you know, a particularly toxic one is Libre by Nexus. And as you know, and I think other folks may, it's an immigration bond company that provides immigration bonds in certain states. But Libre, you know, has really been taking advantage of our communities for quite some time. You get an immigration bond that is, to begin with, difficult to pay because the average is around $8,000, you know, and many Americans don't even have $500 in their savings account. So imagine immigrants and needing to come up with an $8,000 bond, you get desperate and you find an immigration bond company like Libre by Nexus. And when folks get loans from them to pay those bonds, oftentimes they have to wear a shackle, and there's really no reason why. And all of a sudden, the $8,000 bond becomes 16,000 because of the, the years of waiting for to get a court hearing in immigration court. There's such a backlog.
And you mentioned Nexus, and I'm Libre by Nexus, and they are just, there's so many things I could say about them, but I just wanted the fact that they have been shown to abuse their power and stuff like that. They literally had to pay a $425,000 settlement because of some of the just things that they did that. They basically were proven to be preying on immigrants, and as a result, they had to pay settlement. I don't think that settlement was enough, but at least there's like an actual recognition by our government that this organization is exploiting people, but they still have it around, even with that recognition and that settlement that showed that Nexus was exploiting people. They're still here, they're still doing it, And so it's not us being like, oh, this is a conspiracy theory, this is a bad company, like, with no proof, like, even our government, who is by no means progressive at all, recognizes that they've done some really exploited things and they've had to pay for it, but I don't think they've had to pay enough. And I'm not just talking about like a settlement as far as financials. I think they should be shut down. And they've actually been threatened to be shut down, but that hasn't happened. We'll see if it ever happens. But we're working towards that,
Yeah, just the stories you hear are wild, and a lot of people don't know that there are immigration and criminal bond organizations, and so they don't know about organizations like Invasion Freedom Fund, and they get caught up in it. It's just really heartbreaking. But can you tell us also, like, if folks on this Instagram Live are interested in learning more about the campaign, how they can get plugged in, and what they can do to make sure that this bill becomes law next session?
So for one, there's the Break the Shackles Instagram. So that's one place you can go. I think if you search like Break the Shackles NY, it should come up. And also just being able to like reach out to your senators to be able to sign the bill. Hopefully, someone could put the link for that in the chat. There's also a campaign that individuals and organizations both can sign on. So, if you're not part of an organization, I definitely recommend joining one. Organizations are good. But if you're not, then you can sign on as an individual. But if you are part of an organization or you're interested in signing on to the campaign, there's another link for that. And also, if you go to the Break the Shackles page and in their link tree, they also have the campaign, the sign on campaign. So those are just a few ways to get involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll drop those links in the chat for us here in a minute. But thank you for that explanation of the bill and how folks can get plugged in. I wanted to also talk a little bit about your work specifically to e-surveillance or e-carceration, and what you guys are doing, what the issue is, and kind of how it relates to this issue as well.
So incarceration, just to define it, and I'm sure some people might not know what it is specifically, or some people might have an idea, but just to be more specific, it's basically when authorities, that can be police, immigration agents, whatever, they use surveillance technology to track and monitor and control people, really. More or less, it's just like a range of these technologies that gather information about people that are really already marginalized. And they're gathering this information about their daily lives with this like express purpose of depriving people of their liberty. Like that's literally the point. And these technologies, they include a lot of things. For example, video surveillance like CCTV, microphone surveillance, license plates readers, facial recognition software, and database like NYPD has like a gang database where the vast majority of the people on it are black and brown, black and Latinx people. And so those are some of the forms of incarceration and surveillance. But most people are familiar with it as like house arrest, which is when you put an ankle monitor on someone and it tracks their location. And so right now, like some of the things that we've been doing is just trying to draw attention, first of all, to this, because a lot of people are billing this as a viable alternative to incarceration. Like, oh, well, it's got to be better than like being in prison. But like, when you think about it, like, you know, say, you know, if you're out of prison and paying $500 a month for like, is that better really? You know, if you're out of prison and experiencing like these monitors cause physical problems, like they cause pain, they cause blisters, they cause bleeding, they cause all sorts of things. So is that better than being in jail? And so we really want to hammer home the point that like, this is not a viable alternative. This is not decarceration by any means. It's just another form of incarceration just out of the jail. Like it basically brings the jail home. And, you know, the problem with that, there's all the things that I just mentioned, but, you know, it's not just tracking the person. It's tracking the whole community. It's tracking basically everybody that person comes in contact with. And so it just expands the realm of surveillance and, you know, has all these terrible things associated with it. So, which is why we want to draw such attention to it. And we've done that through, you know, we've hosted, you know, a few webinars on incarceration. We've also, we have a printed poster that I was wondering, I put the link in a document. If there's any way that you could share that, that PDF where it talks all about incarceration and the negative effects of it and what it does. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. We also were part of a coalition that banned facial recognition software in Portland. And so that's also part of our work too, is just to stop facial recognition software and also just to draw attention to incarceration so people know that it's not a viable alternative.
Yeah, it definitely is not, you know, and I, for a lot of people that I've talked to who are directly impacted, it is definitely a different type of incarceration. There are no walls, but the walls have actually expanded, right? Because you're being monitored everywhere now.
Yep, exactly. Yeah.
I've just, there's a Kenyan brother who has an ankle monitor and was practicing for the Boston Marathon. And so he had to adjust the way that he ran just because of the monitor, you know? And so, yeah, it really goes to show you how your daily life is impacted by this e-surveillance.
Yeah. And these technologies are not perfect by any means. And they are constantly going off. Like, I can't tell you like how many TikToks I've seen where somebody's literally sitting in their house watching TV and they're getting call after call because their monitor is saying that they're somewhere else. Their monitor is saying that, you know, they're down the street or they're somewhere where they're not supposed to be. And luckily this person has a house phone to basically prove that they're home. But, you know, say you don't have a house phone, then how else are you supposed to do it? And that just reminds me of there's an elderly woman, I think she was about 65, and she had an ankle monitor on, and she was in her computer class, which she was allowed to be in. She was allowed to go to, but due to a malfunction, they actually ended up coming, you know, to that class, like arresting her. She spent days in prison and she didn't even do anything. It was just strictly because of a malfunction of the technology. So, you know, it's really important that we draw attention to this because, you know, it's really, really harming people. And it's harming people, a lot of people that haven't even been guilty of a crime. You know, sometimes they do this as like, you know, in place of a bond. You know, if someone can't afford bond, then they'll do, you know, an electronic shackling. And so people that haven't even been convicted of a crime are having to go through this. And, you know, we're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, but it still feels like the people that are having to go through this are being punished without even being convicted of a crime. Like, it's definitely an injustice. And, you know, there's all these policymakers that think that, you know, using technology can reduce the number of people in prison. It saves taxpayer money. It makes communities safer, all these things. But like, it really doesn't do any of those things. It makes communities more subject to police violence. It makes corporations a ton of money. and, you know, it just like you said, it expands the reach of the jail. Like, the jail comes home, you know, the walls are, yeah, just wider now, and they encompass the entire community as opposed to, you know, a single jail cell. But really, at the end of the day, it's just like a cheap and easy way to control a large number of people. And then, you know, with these technologies watching all the time, like, authorities are just more likely to arrest people for doing things that are like just a part of daily life, just a part of our culture. You know, like I said, with that elderly woman who was in her computer class and doing what she was supposed to be doing. and she still ended up arrested as a result, and in prison as a result of these of this technology.
Yeah, no, it's wild. Also, like the emotional piece of this too, you know, like someone, and he was telling me about just like the embarrassment that he oftentimes will experience because of the monitor, and how people react to him because they see a monitor. So,
yeah, I mean, it has like definitely, you know, I have heard that it has like a really big, you know, I mentioned the physical effects, like how it hurts, it can give blisters, but it has a big emotional and mental toll as well. You know, a lot of times when you have these ankle monitors on, like authorities refuse to make any type of adjustments that would like make it okay for your life to continue, you know, like sometimes you can't get jobs, you can't go to school, or even if you do go to jobs and do go to school, if there's some kind of malfunction, then, you know, you can get arrested at your job, you can get arrested at your school, which is, I mean, that is, it has such an emotional and mental toll on people. And also just this idea that this thing is always on you, tracking you, like, can you, you know, like that feeling alone, like that anxiety, that discomfort from always being watched, like that no one should really have to live like that, especially, you know, people that are just trying to get a new life, you know, with immigrants or, you know, people that haven't been convicted of a crime. But this is really like an like unjust way of trying to control people.
Yeah, I totally agree. But this has been a really good conversation. I am excited about this campaign. I hope folks have, if folks have any questions before we jump off, feel free to drop it in the chat. I'm really excited, you know, for this bill to be taken seriously next session, and for folks in our, in New York State, hopefully will not be, will be protected from predatory companies like Libre by Nexus. So.
Yeah. Let's see if there's any questions. Maybe.
Awkward silence, you know. Of...
Yeah. I like to say pensive. It's pensive silence, you know.
Yeah. Yes. What can we do to help? Tanya asks.
Yeah, so definitely reaching out to your senators and politicians to sign the bill. There's a website. I hope that it was posted. It might not have been, but it's basically nyassembly.gov. There's a search there where you could search your senators and reach out to them specifically to sign the SIMBA bill. And I also mentioned that there is a sign-on campaign that you can do as an individual. You can also sign on as an organization if you're part of an organization. But yeah, really the most important thing is like reaching out to your local senators and really just get on, sign the bill. And if you can spread the word, tell other people about it and tell them to tell their senators too, specifically, you know, New Yorkers, because this is a New York bill. So yeah, I see the link was, yeah, just posted. So yeah, that's really most important, just helping us get the word out and encouraging politicians to sign the bill. Yeah, and if you're out of state, yeah, definitely just try to get the word out, like try to, you know, tell people about it. You know, it, and even if you're not in New York, just getting the word out, I think will be helpful, because oftentimes something will be kind of tested out in one state, and then, mm-hmm. you know, they see things like people are supporting something in one state, then they'll start doing it in other states. And so maybe do some research and see about if there's any kind of similar bills. If there's not, then maybe reaching out to some organizations like immigrant organizations and criminal justice organizations that are doing similar work to see if they're working on any kind of similar bill, or if they're interested in working on some kind of similar bill, maybe if they have more volunteers and support, you know, a lot of nonprofits don't have a lot of capacity, but the more people are interested in something, the more people express interest in something, the more people volunteer for stuff, the more likely people are able to take on different campaigns. So basically just, you know, keep your ears out, keep listening and finding out about incarceration. And yeah, just find out if, you know, in your own state, if there's any kind of immigrant bail abuse type legislation being passed, and if there's not, then just connecting to the different organizations that are doing similar work to see, you know, how you can tap into what they're doing in your specific region. So hopefully it helps.
Exactly. Yep. Thank you for that. Are there any other questions? Any final words, my friend?
Yeah, I'll just say that, like, you know, our communities have really been targeted by racist police practices and policies, and this is like an expansion of that reach into Black and Brown communities. And so we don't want them to continue expanding their reach. We've seen what the reach of police does. We've seen what the effect of police surveillance and police interaction with Black and Brown communities does, you know, ends up with us, you know, people dying, people being abused, and no accountability on the part of the police. So, you know, we can't expand their reach by any means, because if we do, then it just expands the oppression. So yeah, just focus, you know, we need to really put pressure on police and immigration organizations to not expand their reach through surveillance.
Exactly. Very well put. Well, thank you for your time. I really enjoyed this conversation. And if folks have any questions, feel free to inbox us in the Envision Freedom Instagram or the Freedom to Thrive Instagram if you want to get plugged into our work or learn more about our organizations and what we are doing to protect our communities. So,
thanks again for having me. This was great. I appreciate it.
Bye.
Dismantling Injustice is a project of Envision Freedom Fund. Our creator is Saleh Israel. Our producer is Michael Bray, and I'm Carl Hammond Lipscomb. To learn more about our work or to donate, visit us online at envisionfreedom.org or follow us on social media.